Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show. What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with Maxine's third place finalist, Lisa Casey. Lisa, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Thanks, Steve.
Lisa, just a few weeks ago, you found out that you not only made the top 10, but made the top three. How has the past couple of days been like for you?
It's been fantastic. My first memory is the actual announcement. I had one of my friends here and my daughter, and we just went crazy. I'm surprised the neighbors didn't make a complaint. It was really exciting. I was so overwhelmed.
Well, look, you should be so proud of your result. You had an amazing achievement and amazing transformation. And again, yeah, you should be so proud of the effort that you put in. Now, Lisa, I know a little bit about you, but I'm sure there's a few people listening who aren't quite sure who you are. So would you like to tell us maybe where you're from, what you do for work, and who is Lisa?
Sure. So don't hold it against me. Originally a Victorian, but I am in the military. I have been for 19 years, so I have lived all around the country. Currently, I'm in Canberra, waiting to find out where home will be next year. I'm a mum, just turned 6-year-old, my daughter Sarah, who you have seen on some of my Facebook posts, one of my biggest supporters and company at the gym on weekends. I was an air traffic controller for a long time in the Air Force. I'm now an operations officer. Love working out. I'm fortunate to have free gyms in the military, part of our requirement to remain fit. Otherwise, love reading, sewing, and hiking.
Seems like you've got your hands full with between work and some hobbies and the little one as well.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
So tell us, not many of us have lived the, I guess, military lifestyle, or even just the idea of moving every other year or not being sure of where you're going to live. How do you explain that to people? Like, what's it like when you're, one, not sure where you're going to live next year, or two, needing to relocate every couple of years? What's that like for your home life or your social life or your everything in between?
Well, for one thing, I do have friends everywhere who I'm constantly saying see you later to. Someone said the other day, we don't say goodbye in the military, we say we'll see you later. Most likely we'll see them again in a few years. But it's exciting, new opportunity, new friends. It was harder at the beginning, but now I see the opportunity there. And every couple of years, coming up on about 4 or 5 years, it's time to move again. I get a bit of an itch, and yeah, it's time to go.
Now, Lisa, let's talk about why you chose to join the challenge. And my understanding was this was the first challenge you joined with us.
Yes, it was my first one.
Could you tell us a little bit of a story about what made you sign up to the January challenge?
Sure. So through my adult life, my weight has been up and down. Lowest when I got married, obviously, you know, that white dress looming. But then recently with some life changes, particularly everything with 2020, I was eating my feelings for most of that year and didn't notice it at first, but the weight crept up ever so slowly and steadily until I saw that I was actually heavier than my full-term pregnancy weight. My clothes weren't fitting. I was contemplating going up another uniform size, more clothes sizes, and I was extremely unhappy.
Yeah. So was it like one specific moment where you realized like, I need to do something about this? Or was it a little bit of culmination of everything and then you decided, okay, something needs to change?
I knew something needed to change, but it was a bit of a culmination of the new year coming around, 2021. I wanted to see what I could do all on my own, what I could challenge myself to do. And actually, at the start of this year, I started with the Canberra Centenary Trail. On January 1st, I laced up my shoes and started the 145K walk around Canberra. And I completed that. Wasn't expecting any weight loss from that, but I thought, what else can I do now? And I found Maxine's challenge and went, yep, all right, this is my next challenge.
and the rest is history.
Absolutely.
No, I think you outlined an important narrative for us to all understand, is that, you know, if we take someone like yourself, Lisa, and I say this with empathy, you know, you're in the military in an environment where, you know, fitness is, I would say, important or part of the job. And even someone like yourself found yourself in a situation where that weight kind of crept on, right? And some people, you know, beat themselves up, and we live in, I don't know, sedentary lives, or working in an office or working in whatever environment. And slowly over time, that weight creeps on, and you might be doing everything possible, doing all the right things. And it can happen. And it can happen because of, you know, emotional eating, 2020, or life changes, moving, those types of things. But the most important thing is that you acknowledge that and then make changes to improve that situation, like you've done. You've gone and done the Canberra Trail, and then now Maxine Challenge, and then now you're making all the steps to continue that pathway. And you're not a bad person because you put on some weight, and now you're heading in the right direction, which is beautiful to see. Now, Lisa, I'm sure that your January experience wasn't all sunshine and rainbows, and probably had your own challenges in between then. So can you speak a little bit about some of the challenges that you might have faced during the January challenge?
What first comes to mind is those circuits. They were a mental as well as physical challenge for the actual program. Those were something initially I was fearing every day, but developed into a habit and something I could overcome. But one of the things I learned a lot from was some of those backward steps. So, you know, the falling off the wagon, going, I'll just have this tonight, it'll be fine. The result the day after of having something not so nutritious or healthy for you actually was a great eye-opener to, this is the difference between having food which fuels you and food which is not doing you any favors. So while I did fall off the wagon sometimes, those lessons really helped me clean up and come back stronger each time.
I like that. Firstly, about the circuits, I think we all kind of develop a love-hate relationship for things like that, right? You're kind of like staring down the barrel and you're like, oh, geez, I've got to do this again for, you know, it's 2 minutes. It's not a long time. But during that time, oh, geez, it's horrible. And heck, you know, you watch me demonstrate the videos and I'm out of breath after 30 seconds of, you know, maybe doing four
that
exercises.
That makes me feel better.
I'm like, whew, all right, well, have fun with that one. And yeah, but my favorite is always at the start of the challenge, and challengers would say something like, oh, it's really easy. I'm like, whoa, are you doing it right? I was out of breath. I mean, you're much fitter than I am then. No, I'm glad you enjoyed them. No, that's cool. But I think you're right. You know, whenever we face challenges, we can either see them as a big barrier or a learning opportunity. And sure, like you said, we fall off the wagon, you might have that ice cream in the evening or a couple of chips or whatever it was. But if you understand what happens afterwards, you're like, okay, well, maybe I don't want to continue to do that every single day, right? Okay, let's talk about some things that you might have learned. So, you know, during the January challenge, you know, we all kind of learn different things, and sometimes it's really personal things, like, oh, I learned that I could do it if I put my mind to it. Or maybe you might have learned something that's really formal, like, oh, I understand what calories are now, or something like that. So can you speak a little bit about something you might have learned over that January challenge?
A very simple one, I think, water intake. I was always a bit of, not avoiding water, but I thought that maybe, increasing weight by increasing so much water, I wanted to avoid, because you get on the scales, you want to, you know, see a smaller number. But when I started smashing the water down, not only did I feel a lot better, but the results came faster. And that was a massive game changer for me. And I know instantly a couple of hours into the day if I've forgotten to have water. And so, yeah, it's a very important thing for me now.
Are you one to take a bottle of water everywhere you go? Are you that person now?
I do now. It also helps when the little one wants a drink and I can just get out the water instead of buying something. So
I have a really large drink bottle. I think it's like one of those 1.5, 2 liter drink bottles with a big handle on the side. And that's just like attached to my hip everywhere I go. I've got it right next to me actually. But yeah, no, I think you're right. Like water is a huge part of our livelihood. We're mostly made up of water. And I think you touched on an interesting point around like our body weight changes daily, where a lot of it comes down to how much water you drink, where some may think, oh, I've lost a kilo today. It's like, well, yeah, because you haven't drunk a liter of water, right? Or the next day, they're like, oh, I've gained a kilo. It's like, yeah, because you drank a liter of water. And not only like water as in bottled or like water itself, but a lot of our foods contain water, right? Lots of fruits and vegetables have lots of fluids in them. So the combination of it all can change our body weight a lot, right?
Absolutely. So yeah, those minor shifts aren't so important over the short term, but yeah, feeling those feelings when you haven't had water, the potential headaches from dehydration, no thank you.
You want to hear a quick joke?
Sin.
What's a ninja's favorite drink?
Oh no, I already know. Go ahead.
Water.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, I like that. All right. There you go. So basically the takeaway is be like a ninja, drink more water, and yeah, everything will be good. Well, look, Lisa, let's talk about change. So if you were to jump in that little time machine and go back to the start of this year, maybe the 1st of January, and then if you were to compare that time to today, how has your life changed?
Significantly every morning, I don't have to worry about getting dressed or if I can do up that button. That's a massive change. A lot of my clothes don't fit now. A lot of my nice clothes are too big, but it's a lovely problem to have. Putting on a uniform every day is easier than most, choosing what to wear each morning, but yeah, so much easier and such just a massive part of my morning gone, not having to worry about fitting or how it looks or what people in my mind may be thinking about how I appear in that outfit.
For work, are you mainly wearing the same type of uniform every day?
Yeah, mostly it's a general purpose uniform, so the blue camouflage that we have now. But in the last few weeks, Air Force has just brought in this very nice modern new dress for females. And so I wear that every so often now, and I do feel good in it.
I think when you're wearing the same, uniform every day, it kind of takes that thought away of like, what should I wear today, right? When you're wearing a general purpose uniform, yeah, you're just like, oh, well, I don't need to, outfit repeat or choose my shirt or something. Oh, it's just, you know, the same outfit. Yeah. But so when your body was changing and you're noticing maybe like the weight creep on and the uniform, not fitting as well as it was, you know, you kind of mentioned already that you were potentially going up a uniform size and those types of things. Like, is it an easy process to like change uniform, or do you know you have to go speak to people and order it in and these types of things? Like, could you have flown under the radar and made that change, or would you have had to confront a few things to make that change?
No, unfortunately, it's quite simple. You get a form signed and you go and request the new size at the clothing store. You know, perhaps it should have, you know, those questions when someone signed the form for me saying, you know, how's it going? You know, what's going on with your uniform? That being said, they do wear out and we have to replace them. But no, I could have continued going up sizes without much accountability.
I think, again, you know, we compare that to everyday life. You know, we can kind of fly under that radar and, you know, I'll slowly wear baggier clothes. Oh, it's winter time. I've got my hoodie on. And then as we kind of defrost into like the summertime and you start like wearing less clothes, you're like, oh, I'll just maybe keep this hoodie on, or this dress is really loosely fitting, or, you know, I like this baggy top. And we almost like convince ourselves that these things aren't happening. So almost that other point of like making yourself a little bit accountable, being like, hey, like things are changing and I need to again, make that change, right? Now, Lisa, let's talk a little bit about advice. So I'm sure many people have already reached out to you in your own personal circles and online. But if someone came to you and was asking for advice, maybe they wanted to get fit and healthy, lose some weight, or even start the challenge themselves, what advice would you give that person?
Small changes to begin. I've seen a lot of the comments now that we're starting a new challenge. People are a little bit overwhelmed at the whole prospect of 12 weeks, one change at a time. Start settling in that way. Habits will be formed. I get up every morning now, 4:30, and treadmill to get my steps going. Initially, that was super hard, and I wanted to snooze the alarm and get an extra hour sleep. But now I feel better every day for getting up and doing that. So that took about half the challenge to make that the norm. And now I don't even have to set an alarm. The body clock wakes me up now at 4:30 every morning, even on weekends. but yeah, small changes and habits will be formed if you stay consistent.
I like that. I like that advice. And we see it way too often where someone wants to jump in the deep end. They want to do all the things all at once. And sure, some are able to make huge changes, and sometimes stacking all those changes is like a big life-changing event, and that's fine. But for many, making too many changes is not super sustainable. And you're right, when the challenge begins and we see all the plans and we see all the information and we see all the programs, we want to do all the things. But it really comes down to those small steps, one step at a time. And 12 weeks, yeah, it flies by, but it can feel like forever, right? It can feel like, oh, geez, it's not just 1 week. It's not just one day. It's 12 weeks or 84 days. It can take some time. But remember that it's not over once it's over, right? So, you know, if you were to summarize your life now, you know, you've made the top three, you've transformed your body, you know, like what's your day-to-day life now? You know, I'm sure you're still living and breathing the challenge life. You're training, you're eating well and those types of things, right?
Absolutely. So like I mentioned, 4:30 wake up, get on the treadmill, do about 5Ks there. Depending on whether my daughter's with me or not, then it's time for her to get up, get her ready for school, get myself ready, off to school and work. I work a pretty hard day, so then I can hit the gym in the afternoon before I pick her up, get my workout done, and then grab her back home, all the preparations that I do on the weekends, meal prepping. I cook her dinner, but mine's ready to go. And then it's preparing for the next day. It's not so exciting, but that's life, and it got me to top three.
So good. Well, talking just briefly about your daughter, when it comes to meal times, are you eating similar things?
Absolutely not. No, her diet is quite narrow. Although she has started to, she's seen my changes and knows that mummy wants to get healthier and is still working on that. And just this weekend, when I thought I'd give her a treat and offered McDonald's for lunch, she asked me if she could have Subway instead because it was healthier. So that's a really nice outcome of starting to inspire someone at least.
No, beautiful, especially a young girl in these times. No, that's amazing to hear. But look, Lisa, let's wrap it up there. I want to thank you for donating some of your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. Again, I'm sure you've inspired so many people within your circles, and thank you for inspiring so many people within our circles online, on social medias, and everything in between. So thank you for everything you've done, and congratulations for a huge result.
Thanks very much.